This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. For 2,000 years, people have argued about the nature and identity of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Determining his identity has been the subject of discussion, debate, and even war. In this week's message entitled, Who is Jesus?, Pastor Scott reminds us that while it is important to understand the nature and identity of Jesus, what's most important is who he is to us. This message was delivered on August 5th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Go ahead, ushers. Thank you, ushers. Good morning, you all. Oh, we had a great softball game yesterday. I tell you, it seemed like every single time we went into the outfield, it rained. And good thing that I was in the dugout, coaching from the dugout. We had enough players that I got to play the position I signed up for. Right bench. Yeah. It was just, and it was a fantastic game. We scored the first run, and we scored the last run. And in between, the opponent scored 11. Whew, well, we had so much fun. I mean, man, if you could have seen Randy out there at third base snagging all that hot shots hit to him, wow. I was like, because this is me and softball. I love the game. But when they hit a ball to me, I move out of the way. I don't, like Johnny, he blocks it with his body. And you know, you ever heard a ball hitting flesh? Pack, And that's not me. I just move out of the way because it's like, I get hurt. So, but next week we have another game. I think it's at 10. So if you want to come and watch your New Hope East Hawaii second place team from last year play, come out and watch us. It's a great time of fellowship. And we just get our exercise chasing balls down. But it's fun. And then volleyball is going to start soon. So softball helps get us in shape for volleyball. Amen. Whew. You guys ready for the air conditioning fund? Yeah? Are we ready? We have it. It's just in your account. Not funny, huh? It's in my account, right? Well, who is Jesus? You know, who is he? People say he was a carpenter. Some say he was God. Some say he was a nice guy, a good teacher. Today we're going to look at some scriptures and just unlocking who Jesus is. And hopefully we understand who he is, we let him into our lives, get to know him a little better. See, because there was a time in my life where I knew about him and I knew him, but my relationship with him wasn't quite, you know, the relationship that I needed to have with him. Kind of superficial on the surface kind of thing, on the fence, you know, not really bold about him, and you know, pray when something I need or when I'm in trouble. And it was kind of like a really superficial on the surface kind of thing. And you know, I thought it was good, but then when you have a relationship with Jesus and you kind of know him but not really, that's a dangerous place to be. And I was in that place at one time in my life. And when the trials came, man, it hit me so hard. And because my relationship with Jesus wasn't tight-knit, solid, instead of running to him, which we should, I ran away from him. I think my mom should have named me Jonah instead of Scott. Because I ran away. I didn't know what to do. Because the relationship wasn't solid enough that I knew I could run to him. So instead, I ran away from him. And that's not a good place to be. So we're going to look at some things to figure out who Jesus is and what we need to do. In Mark 8, 27 to 30, it says this, Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, who do the people say I am? They told him, saying, John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, but others say one of the prophets. And he continued by questioning them, but who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And he warned him not to tell no one about him. So who is Jesus? Well, Jesus was 100% man. In John 1:14, and if you read the book of John, it's a really, really good book, you know. And the Word became flesh. And when we talk about the Word, talking about Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace. So the Word became human. Jesus became human. He became the perfect teacher. He became the perfect example. He became the perfect sacrifice. The Word became flesh. Christ became flesh. He came to earth as a man. Yet in doing so, he did not merely appear like a man. He became a man. He became a man. Why? For our sakes. Number two, he was 100% God. So he was man, and yet at the same time, he was God. In John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. What Jesus taught and what he did are tied together by who he is. John shows Jesus as fully human and fully God. You know, even though Jesus took upon himself the full humanity and lived as a man, he never ceased to be God, who has always existed. Yeah? So Jesus, if we look at the scriptures, especially if you look at John, he was man, yet he was God. He was 100% man, not half-half. He was 100% man, 100% God. So who is Jesus? He is our Redeemer and our Savior. Yes, we can say that, but unfortunately, not for all people, but only for those who choose him. He's like for me, he is my Redeemer and Savior. For you, he is your Redeemer and Savior. For those who have yet to profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, he's there, but they got to profess, they got to accept him. And in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You think about it. He might have been bold saying that because people think there are many ways to heaven. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, through him, in him. And you may think, well, that's kind of bold. You're saying there's only one way? Yes, I am. The Bible says so. One of the most basic passages in Scripture. The only way to God is by uniting our lives with Christ, to trust Jesus to take us to the Father. And the benefits of being God's children will be ours. Jesus said he's the only way. Sounds like a tough thing, but hey, if we know what the Bible says and we know Jesus, and then we know that there is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our path to the Father, the truth. And that is God's promise, and that is written in the Word. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, without a Redeemer, judgment covers us. We'll be guilty. But because we confess Jesus as our Lord, he washes away our sins. Christ redeems us. He gives us victory over death. God does that for us. In Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And whose name is that? Jesus. Luke 2:11, "For today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus Christ was born. Colossians 1:13 and 14, "For he rescued us." He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus was man, Jesus is God. Jesus is our Redeemer, he's our Savior. Right? So that's who he is. And now comes the personal part for us, important to you and me. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he to you? Because that's important. Because for me at one time, before I faced my trials, he was like maybe a friend or kind of like an acquaintance, which is not a good thing to be. But is he just your friend? Is he someone that, you know, maybe like your friends on social network that you kind of chat with once in a while, hang out with occasionally? Sometimes, you know, you go shopping with them. Sometimes you go fishing with them. But it's not a daily thing. See someone that you bring into certain friend's house, but leave at home when you go to other friend's house. When you go into the friend's house with all the beer and the booze, you leave Jesus at home. And when you go to your Christian friend's house, you bring him along. Is he an acquaintance? You know, like that grocery store clerk, the bank teller, is he, or the waiter or waitress who serves you? You kind of know them, but you don't know them. Is that who Jesus is to you? Is he a genie? Oh, Lord, I need this. Oh, Lord, I want this. Lord, I need this job. Lord, please let that blue light in the back of me not be for me. Please, 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 please. Please, Lord, please. Man, you know, is he a genie to you? That, you know, oh, Lord, I need healing. Please heal me now. Lord, I need help. Please pay me, pay my bills. Is he one of those to you? Or is he your Lord and Savior? Is he the one that you get up in the morning? Good morning, Lord. What a glorious day. Thank you for waking me up today. Is he the guy that you talk to during the day, all day? Thank you, Lord, for this parking stall. Thank you, Lord, for this opening in traffic. Hey, by the way, I found out the secret to not being behind the slowest guy every time is you just be the slowest guy. So I've been driving, you know, because I always drive the speed limit, you know, always on that edge. Sometimes a little bit over, cannot lie. But if I drive the minimum, hey, there's no longer anybody in front of me. I realize that. I'm like, wow, this is cool. I don't get mad. Everybody else behind me gets mad. But I was just cruising, not in a rush to get anywhere one day. Driving at 45, you know, or a little bit slower. And it's like, honey, look, there's nobody in front of me. Wow, I don't have to get mad. Oh, that was like revelation, man, to me. It was like, wow, just be the slowest guy. Then you don't have to worry about the guys in front of you going slow. Man, is it the Jesus, the last guy you talk to when you go to sleep? Lord, give me good rest and pleasant dreams and wake me up very early in the morning. Is he the Lord of your life? Is he in the driver's seat? Or is he maybe your spouse's Lord? Ever thought about that? You know, they're the one that goes to church and, you know, they're living their spiritual life. Is he your rock? Is he the guy that you trust, that you depend on? Is he the guy that you step out in faith? When you sign that check and you drop it in the offering bucket, are you trusting in him? Is he the guy that you believe that he's going to get you into heaven because he said so? You know Jesus is not a liar, right? Everything he's written, he holds that, and he doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is he? Do you trust him? Do you want to trust him? Do you want him to be the Lord of your life? Because I'm gonna tell you what, when you're on the fence and you're kind of like hesitant to jump in, to go all in for Jesus, that's a very dangerous place to be. Because when the tough things come across your life, you may not turn in the right direction. You might be like me. Instead of turning to him, which you should do, you might turn him and run the other direction because life gets difficult and because you haven't put your trust in him. In Matthew 7:21, these are some tough words written by Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Right here, Jesus exposed those people who sounded religious but had no personal relationship with him. Been there, done that. Don't want to go back in that direction. On Judgment Day, only our relationship with Christ, our acceptance of him as Savior, our dependence on him will matter. Many people think that if they are good people and say religious things, they will be rewarded with eternal life. In reality, faith in Christ is what will matter. That we put him in our life, we trusted him as our Lord and Savior. We gave him our best. Having this relationship with Jesus, man, it's not a game. It's not to be taken lightly. It's serious stuff. And for us, we need to get serious. We need to get intentional. We need to plan to grow, because it's not going to automatically happen. Automatically, we grow old. That's given, man. I feel it already. Right? Oh, she's looking at him. He's 1 year older today. But you're still young. But we automatically get old. That's a given. But to get smarter, to get wiser, man, it's a choice. Because we can choose not to learn. But spiritually, where do we want to be? What part of our life do we want Jesus? Do we want him to have 10% of our life, 20%, 75%, 80%, 90%? I think it's a work in progress. I don't think I can be 100% here. I try, and I strive for that, and I try and try each day, but how many of you try and try each day and fail? I do. But it's not a game, and we got a plan to grow. Start reading the Word. Get in the Word. Start reading books that will benefit you spiritually. Luke 14:26, Jesus said this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciples. That word hate is so powerful, yeah? Sometimes I look at this like, hate, man, it's so powerful. And I sometimes think the word hate, and we cannot define it as we do the English word, but I think when he says the word hate, I think he means to not hate the way we think it, like, man, I hate, you know, my enemy. But I think when they use the word hate, it means to love less, because it makes more sense. If anyone comes to me and does not love less his own father and mother, meaning we got to love Jesus more than our father, mother, sister, brother, spouse. Yeah? You cannot, if you love them more than Jesus, then you're putting them above Jesus. And what does the commandment say? Nothing, right? Jesus first, God first. Yeah? Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus says that nothing can come between you and God. Even good things, such as your spouse. I mean, yes, you love your spouse. I love God, and then my wife is like right here. Okay? I cannot put her up here. Then that might be considered worshiping her. Then you know, if you worship something above God, then you know what? He just might take it away. So I don't want to take that chance. I love my wife too much, so I'm going to put it right here, right as close as under God as I possibly can, right? And then your children. Not God and your children, but God and your spouse, and then your children. Amen? And not even your pastor, okay? Put me someplace down here is okay. But how much do you want to love Jesus? How much do you want to make him your Lord and Savior? Who is Jesus to you? Answer that question. Who is Jesus to you? Is he a friend? Is he an acquaintance? Is he a genie? You only go to him when you need stuff or you want stuff. You know, when things are going good, you got a good job, you got a good spouse, you got a good retirement, healthy bank account, everything is good. Where is Jesus in all that equation? Because I hate for us to get broken down to nothing. Then we realize who Jesus is and who he needs to be in our life. I've been there. I've done that. God had to break me down to just about tears, on my knees, crying, drunk, till I had to realize like who Jesus needed to be in my life. That is a spooky place to be. But if that what needs to happen to you, for you to realize who Jesus needs to be in your life, then it's going to happen. But you can call us, your brothers and sisters, those who are behind you, in front of you, next to you, because we're family. And we're going to be there to help you up, to hold you, to guide you, to bring you back up until God can rebuild you into the person he created you to be. Amen? Do you want him to be your Lord and Savior? If you do, then let's put some plans into place to get intentional about your relationship with God, because it needs to happen. You know, when you got married, you made efforts, intentional efforts, to get to know your spouse, to know their likes, to know their dislikes. My wife, I know she does not like papayas, blueberries, and pickles. I took the time to get to know this. Took me a while. I took the time to figure out what I can do to make her feel love. It just didn't happen. I had to seriously focus. And for me, that took effort because I lack focus sometimes. So I had to concentrate. Okay, she does not like this. She does not like me leaving the toilet seat up. Even if I still do it, yeah? And I got things to learn. I have to intentionally train myself because I love her. And same with Jesus. You got to plan, intent, read the word, make a plan to read, understand, and grow. Intentionally. Because it's not going to happen. You can say, yeah, he's my Lord and Savior, but yet not read the word, not pray, not do a thing. In reality, who is he in your life? Just an acquaintance. But if you're going to make him your Lord and Savior, then you got to plan, and you got to take the steps to do so. And it's those steps are going to lead you to an abundant, fruitful life. Amen? Yes. And I just wanted to make sure that, man, for all of us, we get a chance to really, really make Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Not just come to church each week and hope that things fall into place the right way and hope that I step into something that will make me grow. No, we got a plan for it. Amen? And that's the whole purpose. Who is Jesus to you? Ask yourself that question the whole week. Who is Jesus to me? And then for your friends and family, you can ask them, who is Jesus to you? Who is he? Who do you want him to be? You want him to be the guy who saved your life? I certainly do, for my family and for my friend. I want I want Jesus to be their Lord and Savior just as he is mine. Amen. You may put away your notes. We're going to be taking communion. So I believe James is going to lead us in communion. What an honor. He not only cooks for us, but he gets to sing with us on some days. And today, he gets to lead us in communion. Would you welcome our brother James?
Ushers, you can start passing out the elements. Morning.
Morning.
While the ushers pass out the elements, just take your time and clear your hearts. And if you have anything right now, just ask God for forgiveness. And just come with a clean heart. All right. Almost. Communion. Jesus, on that night he was betrayed, he was giving an example how to remember him. He was telling everybody how he was going to be broken down, his body, and how his blood was going to be poured out for all our sins to save us. And when I was asked to do communion, I learned in a Bible study class, you got to read it and picture yourself there and at the table, and then picture yourself watching Jesus get broken down. And it's really what he did for us, for our sins. It was really, you can't explain it. So on that night, he took up the bread and he said, "This is my body that will be broken for you." So everybody take the bread. And in the same manner, he took the cup and said, "This is the blood and the new covenant." Everybody take up the cup. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your blessings you've given us in our life. Thank you for saving us for all our sins and pouring out your blood. Thank you for all your love. I'd just like to just keep on thanking you for all the blessings you've given us. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, James. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Before they start playing, I want to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If you've never done this before, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you over there. Bless you over there. Bless you over there. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. They said yes They want Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. They have made that choice. So, Lord, I pray that you would help them be intentional about their relationship with you, to make you their Lord and their Savior, to learn, to grow, to walk with you, not only when they need something, but every day, from the time they get up to the time they go to sleep. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Would you stand and join us as we sing?
Been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.